by your word and Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover your peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
I'm going to be reading this morning from Genesis, the second chapter, and it's the New Revised Standard Version. If while I'm reading this, this doesn't sound, so that we're back in the Garden of Eden. If anybody listens to the story and they're like, that's not the one I remember, that's because there are two stories of the Garden of Eden and the creation of the world. So if these details don't sound like the ones you remember, you're not crazy. These are the generations of the heaven and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no plant of the field was yet in the earth, and no herb of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no one to till the ground, but a stream would rise from the earth, and the water the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden, and in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river flows out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it divides and becomes four branches. The name of the first is Pishon. It is the one that flows around the whole land of Havilah, there where there is gold, and that gold of the land is good. Delium and Onk stones are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one that flows around the whole land of Cush. And the name of the third river is Tigris, which flows east of Assyria. And the fourth is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree in the garden, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat it, you shall die." Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." So out of the ground the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the cattle and the birds of the air and to every animal of the field. But for the man, there was not found a helper as his partner. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed it up, closed its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and brought her to the man. Then the man said, This at last is the bone of my flesh and the flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one was taken. Therefore a man leaves his father and his mother and clings to his wife, and they become one. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alle, alle, alle.
Of this church met to get to know each other a little bit better. Pastor Ann and I know each other pretty well, but it was a community effort to make sure we all know each other a little better. And we wanted to really focus on the fact that we want this community to go in places that are the very best places that this community can go. We, the four of us, are tasked with leading this community, but we're also a part of this community. And I think we have something pretty amazing here. I'm actually very happy to be a part of it. I would come here even if I didn't work here. And I think that's a pretty great thing to be able to say as a pastor. I'm happy to raise my children in this place. I feel like this community supports my relationship and helps me grow. I just love this place. And I feel like the other three pastors, I can very honestly say, feel that same way. So we wanted to be strategic in thinking about how this place can be the most wonderful place, in particular for those that are looking for what we have here. We wanted to make sure this place was the best place for those that already find themselves here also. So in my sermon today, I wanted to talk about one of the greatest God-given resources we have and how we can make that even stronger. But first, I wanted to tell you about a small practical change that we're having take place. I hope this next part isn't going to be boring. I'm really hoping it won't be. So you may have noticed that we're in the Garden of Eden this morning, right? Why are we in the Garden of Eden? So in our discussions, we came to the conclusion that in the past we've used the Revised Common Lectionary. So the Revised Common Lectionary is sort of very important scriptures are pulled out in a succession so that we look at all these important scriptures over a series of a couple of years. We've done that in the past. We're moving on to something called the Narrative Lectionary, which is the Bible in context. So we're starting at the beginning. We're starting in the Garden of Eden, and we're going to move through, and hopefully somewhere in this, we'll all get a little bit more context for the stories. We're hoping that people will understand how they relate to one another. Hopefully when you come one week, the scripture that we read last week, you'll be able to see the relationship between those two, not just like stories plucked out. So it's more like we're moving from a sometimes awesome standalone movie to now we're going to go to like a serial drama. And hopefully it'll be like, oh, what happens next in the story? You're asking, why are you telling us this, Pastor Jen? Well, one, I think we just want to be transparent. And two, I'm hoping that you'll get some value in the stories relating to one another week to week a little bit more. So here we are. We're in the Garden of Eden, the very beginning. If I were titling this sermon, which I don't usually title my sermons, but if I were, I would title this sermon The Upside of September 12th. It's been many years since the tragic events of September 11th happened, and to be honest, at this point in life, I don't really think about them all that much, but I am married to someone who works for the fire department of the city of New York, and so my focus has been turned to look at that and probably participated in like 7 events this week remembering people that died on September 11th. Something I didn't know, I don't know if you guys know, there were obviously the people that died that day in the event, and there are thousands that have died after that of cancers related to the event. So they continue. So like
thousands have gotten sick.
Sick. Thousands have gotten sick, not died.
106 firefighters have died since.
106 firefighters have died since. But anyway, the toll continues. But it made me think about September 11th in a way that I haven't in a long time. So I don't know if all of you were here 14 years ago. Some of you probably were, and some of you probably weren't here in New York. I talked to someone this week, and they told me they were in elementary school, and I was like, oh, and you're an adult. Right, okay, so it's been a while, right. But I'll tell you, if you weren't here, or maybe I'll help you remember if you were here, 14 years ago, this city was quite different. It was experiencing an excellent time economically. The internet boom was happening. People graduated from college and just got jobs. Even people like me, who kind of were a little directionless, you just could show up and get like a pretty awesome office job. That day changed things pretty significantly for our city. Things became much more financially difficult that day. People left. People who were traumatized didn't want to live in this city anymore. I know so far I'm not really making an excellent case for the upside of September 12th, but there was. There was actually a really significant upside. So because of this horrible tragedy that happened in the city, people came together and bonded in a way that I've never seen since, and I had never seen before in this town. People were connected. People were warmer to one another. People let down their New York City guard just a little bit. I will say, after I wrote this sermon, it struck me that maybe not to everyone. So I would say probably my Muslim friends would not find that it was a connected, warmer, happier place. But I'd say in a very general way, there was a connection in a community that happened. The subways weren't working. Bridges and tunnels were shut down. Cell phones weren't working. People met at each other's homes. People went to go give blood because we were really hopeful that there would be all these people that came out of the World Trade Center that needed our support, and unfortunately that didn't happen. People posted paper posters all over the city, which is one of those images that often comes out of September 11th. And people actually stopped and looked at the posters in the hopes that they might be able to actually help someone find their lost friend or loved one. I've heard other people talk about how that awful day brought about an intensity of community that they've never experienced either. and it was really beautiful. This summer, Anne and I, on our vacation, tried to watch some movies that we hadn't seen, and we ended up watching that movie, and the band played on. Another really seriously tragic event, the spread of HIV and AIDS into the gay community, that decimated and caused us to lose so many amazing people, but it brought about amazing community. People were connected in the AIDS crisis in the gay community in a way that, like, was seriously intense. They, like, really came out and cared for one another. I've heard people wonder to themselves why it took that kind of a tragedy to bring about that kind of a community. I think that we are people who are born for community. We long for it. God created us that way. In the story in the Garden of Eden, we see that God has not completed God's work until there is not one but two people. And a lot of animals. I should note that also. Community includes a lot of animals that you see in the story. God's last act of creative creation in the story is about creating community. Some say that God knew that man needed a second-class helper, and so he called that person woman. That's not really what I see in the story myself. The creation of the two people is not so much about gender roles, but instead about a need for one another. This church is an amazing place, but I think it could be even more amazing. We have the beginnings of some really amazing community here, but it could be so, so much more. When we share a prayer request with one another during worship, we let other people in, and we connect with each other. But what if we were able to be more vulnerable with one another? What if we were able to tell one another what God is doing in our lives in a more full way? What if we were able to tell one another what we're really angry about? What if we could talk about the things that aren't happening in our lives? There's some really good friendships here. Many of you have relationships with one or more of the pastors and feel really connected to them. But what if that web of connection was stronger and more elaborate? Community gives our lives meaning. The most amazing day you'll ever have is only so great if you don't have anybody to tell about how awesome it was. The roughest day is so much less awful when you have somebody who wants to hear about it. God created us for community. God wants us to have a place to live our lives with other people, struggling, trying to find out, figure things out together, laughing, crying, and everything else in between. Both of those two examples I used, the beginning of the AIDS crisis and September 11th, that community was forged out of tragedy, and it doesn't have to be that way. It may take more of a conscious effort on our part, but community can be formed wherever we find it. Many of us sense that we have the seedlings to grow some amazing community here, but it will take vulnerability and continued acceptance of the diversity of God's creation. In the story of the garden, God could have created one or two kinds of plants, an animal or two, but God didn't. God took joy in creating a diverse and creative place. I believe for the most part we relish in that here as well, or we try to, God's diversity. But I think we can embrace that even more. God has been generous with us in the creation of the world. God didn't just create the basics and leave it. God's generosity extends to the creation of a diverse and abundant world. We shouldn't just be okay with the differences among us. We should celebrate them. We should celebrate God's creative creation that exists here. As we start this new year together, I hope that you will see there are lots of ways to be a part of this community of faith. My hope is that we will all find new ways to deepen our relationships here, and therefore our relationships with God in the new year. We so often experience God through the words and actions of others. The act of being in community with others opens us to seeing God moving in our lives and in the world. May God be found in this community and be experienced by those that come in contact with this community. Amen.
To this land from where we are. Hallelujah.